Live from the ESPN Pensacola studios. It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. You could be a part of today's show by texting or calling at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Gibbs got an opening. The acceleration! Jahmyr Gibbs, touchdown Detroit!
And that was just the first of his four touchdowns in a blowout 31-9 win for the Detroit Lions last night. Honestly, a final score I did not see coming. Had you asked me last week on Friday, as a matter of fact, I believe I picked the Vikings to win a close one on the road. I thought they were just playing a little bit better football right now. But, man, I was very surprised by the way that Jahmyr Gibbs played in this game for, or excuse me, yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs played in this game for the Detroit Lions. I thought the Lions could win at home, obviously, something they've done all year. They finished the season 15-2. Of course, it's something they can do at home without any issue. But I really thought because of the injuries to their defense that it really was going to be a situation that Minnesota might be able to take advantage of, and they just could not find any kind of opening, especially in that passing game. I mean, for the Vikings, Sam Darnold, 18 of 41 for 166 yards. Didn't turn the football over, didn't throw an interception, but still 18 of 41 for 166 yards. There was like a nine-play stretch at one point where he had like four wide-open plays that could have gone for a touchdown, and he just could not find the connection. It was definitely just an off game by Sam Darnold, and honestly, outside of Jahmyr Gibbs, this game is a one-point game. It is a very close ball game if it's not for Jahmyr Gibbs, right? Actually, as a matter of fact, I think the Lions would have won this game 9-3. Or excuse me, the Vikings would have won this game 9-3 if it wasn't for Jahmyr Gibbs, three rushing touchdowns, and his one receiving touchdown. And, I mean, you talk about the night that he had. I mean, the guy, 170 yards total offense, four touchdowns. Jahmyr Gibbs was the Detroit Lions last night. And I think there is, you got to be happy about that, right? Because you did have that two-headed monster at the running back position for the Lions most of the season. Then that goes away. But now you're seeing that this one guy can carry that position. It doesn't have to be running back by committee or a two-headed monster. He can run the rock, and he can get you into the postseason and deep into the Super Bowl, if possible, there for the Lions with a trip to New Orleans. So they'll have that bye as they clinch the NFC North with that win last night. So they'll sit and they'll wait. The Vikings, on the other hand, will be one of the most, actually, I think they are the most successful wild card team in NFL playoff history, with 14-3 is your record, right? I believe 13-3 was the previous record. I want to say, I might have the team wrong, but I want to say it was the Packers that actually did that a few years ago. We're 13-3, and we're a wild card team going into the postseason. So now at 14-3, the Vikings finding themselves in that same position. They'll be the fifth seed as they will take on the LA Rams. So they will take on the Rams on this weekend, and then the winner of that will advance on to go right back to Detroit to play the Lions. So there's a very real chance we may see a third Detroit Lions Minnesota Viking matchup on the season, and I honestly think it'd be fun. I think it would be fun. I think this game, again, like I said, if it wasn't for Jahmyr Gibbs going off the way that he did in this game, it's a very close ball game. Like I said, the final score would have been 9-3 in favor of the Vikings. Jahmyr Gibbs was the difference in the game. There's no other key to the game. There's no, oh, the defense did this or the defense did that for Detroit. No, it was Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs, three rushing touchdowns, one receiving touchdown. That's all it was. That is all that the Lions needed. Now they're off to a bye week, so they get a week off, and they're going to be able to rest guys, get healthy, And that's not what you want if you're the NFC. You do not want to face a healthy Detroit Lions team at home against, you know, in the postseason, in a postseason game. This is a team that you saw flashes of what they can do, how they can be last night. And even with the injuries, the defense has still managed to play very well throughout the season. They've done a great job of next man up mentality throughout that team. So it should be interesting to keep an eye on. We'll actually break down and look at the NFL playoff brackets, and we'll look at some of the wild card games coming up a little later on in the show. It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. If you want to be a part of today's show, 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. And let's head to the text line here. Looks like we got Ronald. He's texting in, wants to give his take on the MVP, says he thinks Lamar's going to win it again. You know what? Lamar has got a very good opportunity. I think there's a lot of players that should be mentioned for it. Lamar is definitely one of them. Derrick Henry, his teammate and his partner in the backfield there for the Ravens, is another. Josh Allen, obviously, got to be in that conversation. And then you got to have Saquon in there, too. I think Saquon's got to be in that conversation. But, yeah, when I look at the landscape of, you know, just everything and the way this season has played out, the Ravens, and we're going to talk about this a little later on in the show, the Ravens' middle part of the season was rough for them. But a big reason why they were kind of able to stay even keel through that rough period was Lamar Jackson. And I think that is definitely going to sway some more votes in his direction. And I think, Ronald, look, you got a great point right there. Lamar Jackson's probably going to win it again. And, I mean, rightfully so. He's got the numbers. I don't think, look, whether it's Josh Allen, whether it's Lamar Jackson, whether it's Derrick Henry, whether it's Saquon Barkley, if any of those guys take on the NFL MVP honor, I won't be upset about it. I will be perfectly fine by it, because any of those guys that I just named off deserve it for sure. They've all had MVP quality seasons. So whether it's Saquon, whether it is Lamar Jackson, whether it's Derrick Henry, whether it's Josh Allen, you know, they've all had very, very good seasons. So any of those guys could definitely take it home. But I think, yeah, Lamar's got to be the favorite right now heading into the postseason. Miami falls short to the Jets. They lose that game 32-20, and that means that the Broncos are headed to the postseason as that final wildcard team. It didn't really matter what happened in the Miami game, honestly, when the Broncos just absolutely annihilated the Chiefs yesterday 38-0. Like, I mean, come on, Kansas City. I knew you were going to sit your guys, but at least try, you know? At least try to win the game, you know? Make some sort of an effort. 38-0, the final there in that one for Denver. So congratulations to the Broncos. Bo Nix, Sean Payton, they are headed to the postseason. It's been a little bit of time since the Broncos have been there, so Broncos fans excited about that. Miami, turnovers in the first half, just big thing that let them down in that game against the Jets, a game they should have won, honestly and truthfully. It should, honestly, the score for this game should have been the other way around, 32-20 in favor of the Dolphins, but instead it goes the way of the Jets. A couple of just bad throws by Huntley, fumble, and just could not recover from that. But they've got bigger issues in Miami with this postseason. I will tell you that right now. They definitely have bigger issues. This was Tyreek Hill after the game.
This is my first time I haven't been in the playoffs, man. So, I mean, for me, like I said, man, I just got to do what's best for me and my family, dog. If that's here, if that's wherever the case may be, man, I'm finna open that door for myself, dog. As I'm opening the door, like I'm out, bro. You know, so it was great playing here, but.
You mean you thinking about leaving here?
If it is.
And then he just walks off. You got problems right now if you're the Miami Dolphins. You really do. That is one of your top players, not just on your team, but in the NFL, that is clearly not happy and is saying he wants out. Now, there was a lot of interest in this on social media. Lots of people talking about it on social media yesterday when he made these comments after the game. Here's my take on it. Can he leave? Yes, he can. Would not surprise me if he didn't. Would not surprise me if he didn't request a trade. But at the same time, you have to take into account the situation here. He is coming off the worst season of his career statistically. Arguably, probably, when you break it all down, the worst season of his career record-wise, finishing 8-9. First time in his NFL career, he has not made the postseason. There is a lot of raw emotions happening with him right there in that point in time where he is upset about a lot of different things. Didn't get the touches that he thought he would get. Dealt with a wrist injury all year that did hamper him and kind of slow him down a little bit as far as being able to catch the ball. But still, just not a good year for him across the board. And it gets to a point to where you get frustrated and you think, it's kind of like, okay, you ever been in a relationship and you get frustrated in the relationship and you kind of start thinking that, you know what, maybe it might be better to be single or maybe it might be better with somebody else. And maybe you went and tried that, right? And then you found out it wasn't. You were just frustrated in the moment. But what you really want was where you came from and where you were at. I think that's where Tyreek Hill is, if that made sense to you. I think right now he's frustrated in the moment with the Miami Dolphins. First time in his NFL, in his professional career, that he doesn't make the postseason. It's the first time he's had this bad of a statistical season. It's the first time in his NFL career he's been on a team that's gone 8-9 like this, that's finished below 500. There's a lot of negative first for him happening right now inside that Miami Dolphin locker room. I think there's a lot of frustration there. I think he does have a little touch of the grass is greener on the other side syndrome. But at the end of the day, I don't, and I may be wrong on this, but I don't see Tyreek Hill leaving Miami. I really don't. The relationship that he has with Tua, the closeness that he has with Jaylen Waddle, you know, I don't know if there's been some falling off between him and Mike McDaniel or not, but man, when he first got to Miami, he loved playing for Mike McDaniel. So I think that he's just frustrated right now. I think when some time passes, he may feel a little bit differently than what he said in those comments. It's fresh out of a game that they should have won, that they got beat by 12 points in. He didn't get any snaps in the fourth quarter at all, sat out the fourth quarter. I completely understand where he's coming from as far as being frustrated. So I'm not going to sit here and you know, flip my wig because he said he's out at Miami. Because in the moment, we've all said stuff that looking back and a couple of days later, we wish we hadn't said because maybe it's not exactly what we meant to say and it's not exactly aligned with how we're feeling. So I'm not worried about Tyreek Hill necessarily leaving Miami if I'm a Dolphins fan right now. I know there's a lot of Dolphins fans that were. And honestly, I couldn't fault Tyreek if he did. Not just because of the on-the-field stuff, but think about what has happened to this man since he's joined the Miami Dolphins. His house has caught on fire. First game of this season, thrown in handcuffs, dragged out of his car and thrown in handcuffs right there on the side of the street heading into the player parking lot. There's been some negatives for him in his time in the Miami Dolphins. There's been positives for him as well, but there's also been negatives. So I wouldn't fault him one bit if he wanted to leave the Dolphins. Ronald texted in, said, love to see him in Cincinnati. You know what? Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, and Tyreek Hill, that would be a menace for anybody in the AFC North, really anybody in the AFC. That would actually be a very fun offense to watch right there, Ronald. That would be a great place for him to go. And that's actually a great segue because I was going to say, if he did leave Miami, what teams could he go to? Of course, we're talking about Tyreek Hill saying he is out and done with the Miami Dolphins here on the Glass Half Full. You want to be a part of the show like Ronald just did? Text in 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Again, Ronald saying that he'd love to see him in Cincy. Yeah, that is a great option as well. Some of the other ones, how about the Packers? Jordan Love desperately needs a solid wide receiver, one that he can trust. Tyreek Hill could definitely be a solid option there. The Rams, no idea what's really going to happen with Cooper Kupp's future, whether it's going to be with the Rams or not. Also, there's been a little bit of a decline with him. He's suffered a couple of injuries throughout the course of the season. Maybe you want to go get somebody that's a little bit more stable. So you'd have Puka Nacua, and then you would have Tyreek Hill for Matthew Stafford there in L.A. Also, the Chiefs. How about going back to the Chiefs? Patrick Mahomes has kind of hinted at it a little bit. He's made comments about him possibly coming back one day. But here's the thing with the Chiefs that I would caution is if it is stats that Tyreek Hill is one of the reasons why he's upset at the Dolphins, he's not getting the numbers and the touches he normally would get. Going to a stacked offense like the Chiefs right now, that might not be the best thing for him, right? Because you'd be talking about Pacheco, Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, DeAndre Hopkins. You know, you've got Hunt. You've got a lot of guys that are going to be touching the football, so he'd have to share that with those other guys. It may cut into the touches he gets. So maybe the Chiefs wouldn't necessarily be that shining of an option for him to go to. So we'll see what happens there. But also the Broncos. I mean, Bo Nix having a solid rookie season. You look at what Bo Nix could do with a guy like Tyreek Hill on his team. You know, that could be that one piece. The Broncos and the Chargers, and the Chargers are actually the next team for Tyreek Hill on this list. The Broncos and the Chargers are two teams that are just a couple of players away. They are just a couple of players away, and I think Tyreek Hill could be that player that pushes both the Broncos or the Chargers over the top and actually makes them a contender. Not just a playoff team, not just a wild card team, but an actual legitimate contender in their division inside the AFC West against the Chiefs, but then also for the Super Bowl as well. And I think the Chargers, man, that would be a solid option right there with the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh with his offense, Justin Herbert, an efficient, accurate quarterback, and then you get Tyreek out there running around. How fast would Tyreek look in those bright blue uniforms with the lightning bolt on them? I mean, that's a team that's – their uniform is made for Tyreek Hill, right? Right, with his speed. That would be a great fit there. Ronald also texted in and said, how about D.C.? That was actually going to be the final team that I mentioned here, Ronald. So we're on the same wavelength there. Jaden Daniels, again, you talk about Bo Nix having a solid rookie year. Jaden Daniels having a great one as well for the Commanders and adding him into that offense. You got Scary Terry on one side and Cheetah on the other. Man, that's two go routes on a play waiting to happen. And either way, safety's going to have to go help on one guy. And the other guy's going to be one-on-one or wide open. If I'm the Commanders, that's definitely – if I hear rumors that Tyreek Hill wants a trade or Tyreek Hill is, in fact, leaving Miami, if I'm the Commanders, if I'm the Chargers, the Broncos, the Chiefs, the Rams, the Packers, or even Cincinnati, I'm seeing what needs to be done to make that deal happen and bring him into my team. Because that is a receiver that can change the dynamic of your offense, right? Look at what he did for Miami's offense last year. Miami's offense was number two overall in the NFL last year. Tyreek Hill was the reason why that was. It wasn't because of Tua. It wasn't because of Jalen Waddle. It was because of Cheetah. And I don't necessarily think he leaves Miami, but it is definitely going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. They're probably going to try to talk him into staying there in South Beach, but I don't know, man. Yesterday he was upset when that game was over. We'll take our first time out of the show. When we come back, more of the glass half full. As a matter of fact, we're going to stick with the Miami Dolphins and the New York Giants. They both released similar statements, and I cannot believe they both did it. We'll talk about it coming up next.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
The Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass, 9 to 10, right before Greeny on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
9:23 here on this Monday morning. Welcome back in to the Glass Half Full. Hope you had a great weekend. If you want to be a part of today's show, you can definitely do that. 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. It is Pink Slip Monday, as I like to call it in the NFL. They also refer to it as Black Monday, but I like Pink Slip because everybody's getting pink slips, right? You're getting those little notifications saying you're fired, right? Always makes me think of that that scene in Major League where they come back in the locker room and they're talking to the veteran players, and the veteran players are letting them know that, you know, I think it was Jake that was letting them know, if you open up your locker, you find a red tag in your locker, it means you just died and went down to the minors. Lots of head coaches and GMs are getting red tags on their office door in the NFL today. Two coaches and two GMs that are not, that belong to the New York Giants and the Miami Dolphins. Both teams released statements over the course of either yesterday or this morning saying that they were going to be sticking with not only their GM, but also their head coach. And there's one movie clip, it's movie quote from Will Ferrell, that pretty much sums this up, and this is that.
What an idiot! Oh, what a loser!
Yeah, the old Wedding Crashers. What an idiot! What a loser! Not necessarily the loser, but an idiot for sure. We'll start with the Miami Dolphins. Stephen Ross coming out with a statement yesterday after the Jets loss, saying that both Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel will retain their roles in 2025. Mike McDaniel, this was his third season. The first season, he, you know, definitely had the team looking better. They had looked improved from what they were under Brian Flores. They did make it to the postseason without Tua, though. He was out with an injury. Surprise. And then last year, Tua stays healthy. They make it back to the playoffs. This year, so two of the 3 years that Mike McDaniel has been there, they've gone to the postseason. This is just kind of one of those rough years. And look, if Tua, I full-heartedly, even as bad as this Dolphins team was, if Tua doesn't have that hip flexor, and if Tua doesn't have that concussion, if Tua can stay healthy this season, the Dolphins are still in the postseason, and we'd be talking about them getting ready to play this weekend in probably a wild card game, because I still think Buffalo probably still would have won the division. It was really those injuries, and it really, honestly, it's how Mike McDaniel has shaped this offense to be like, I've talked about it before on the show. He shaped the offense to be around Tua, right? Not around the weapons that he has offensively, like a Jalen Waddle, like a Devon Achane. Not around those guys, but it's around Tua. So when Tua is not in there, you definitely see a drop-off in the offense, because the offense is meant to be for Tua Tagovailoa. And I think when Tua missed, what was it, the 6 weeks in the middle of the season? Yeah. What did the Dolphins go in that time period? 1-5, 2-4, something along those lines? That's a big reason why they failed and didn't make the postseason this year. So I'm not so much worried about Mike McDaniel keeping his job. It's Chris Greer that makes me scratch my head about keeping his job for the Miami Dolphins as GM. Look at some of the guys he's let go. Christian Wilkinson, Andrew Van Ginkle, all of these guys. Andrew Van Ginkle is now with the Minnesota Vikings, and, I mean, you can't watch a Vikings game without hearing his name called. And you just let him walk out of Miami? You let a guy like Christian Wilkinson just walk out of Miami and go to the Raiders in Las Vegas? And then on top of that, you don't do your job as a GM to go find quality players to fill those gaps of those players and the other players you let walk. You don't do a good job of evaluating players in the draft and selecting players based off of team needs. They needed offensive line help in a drastic way over this offseason. And what does he do with their first round pick? He drafts a running back. They have Achane, they have Mozart. They don't really need another running back, but that's where he goes with it. Could have used that pick on an offensive lineman. Could have used that pick on a defensive lineman. Lord knows they need those too. Just Chris Greer just does not make smart decisions as a GM. It's the Glass Half Full, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to chime in on this conversation, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. And the Giants are the same way. I don't necessarily – I know I've said before on the show that Brian Daboll probably deserves to be fired, and he does. He does. He hasn't really done much with the Giants. But also at the same time, he has to coach what team he's given by Joe Schoen. And Joe is not doing his job. You let a guy like Saquon Barkley leave your team? That's clause for being fired to me right there. Like, how do you let the best running back in the NFL just walk, and not just walk, but go to your division rival that's right down the road, just a few hours away in Philadelphia? How the heck do you allow that to happen if you're the GM? That clip of him from Hard Knocks sitting there in his office, and they're all talking about, oh, do we think somebody's actually going to pay Saquon this amount of money? Well, no, I don't think he would, not with Pollard and Henry out there as well. I think Saquon probably not going to get what he wants, so he'll come back to us. Saquon deserved what he got and then some. If you're lining up and you say, I got Derrick Henry, Pollard, and Saquon, pick one to build a franchise around. I'm going with Saquon Barkley. I know there's some people out there that would say Derrick Henry, but I'm going with Saquon. Saquon's younger. You get more time out of him, right? Running back's time frame and time limits in the NFL are very short, right? So the age gap between Derrick Henry and Saquon, I would go with Saquon to build a team around. He's younger. You get more time from him. He's younger. He can recover a lot quicker. So, yeah, if I'm the Giants GM, Joe Schoen, when it's time to pay the man, I'm paying the man. Whatever he wants, he's getting. And then we'll work out some things for bonuses on the side to give him a little extra. Hey, you run for this many yards, boom. You run for this many touchdowns, boom. You get us to the playoffs, boom. Bonuses across the board on top of that salary that he would be getting. But the fact that Joe Schoen just let him walk, but it's not just him. Guys like McKinley let McKinley walk. Now he's with the Packers leading that secondary. It's the same as Chris Greer. Just these GMs just let players go, and then they do a terrible job at replacing them. And it is just mind-boggling to me that teams like the Giants and the Dolphins just look at this, and they're okay with it. That they look around and they go, you know what? I'm okay with him sticking around as my general manager. He's not doing a good job as the general manager, but shoot, you know what? Shoot, we're going to keep him. We're going to keep him. I don't know why I turned into Jerry Jones doing that, but I did. Maybe that's because we're going to be talking about Jerry Jones and terrible GMs. That might be the correlation. Whenever I talk about terrible GMs, I just automatically transform into Jerry Jones. We're going to talk about Jerry coming up in a second. But if I'm Joe Schoen, if I'm Chris Greer, I am thinking, I don't know if any of them are religious, but if they are, I'm thinking God right now. I'm thinking the Mara family. I'm thinking Stephen Ross. I'm thinking all of them. I'm thinking everybody, like I just won an Academy Award if I'm these two guys, because these are two GMs that do not deserve to keep their job, but yet somehow are. I don't get it. The Glass Half Full, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Another GM / owner who is potentially looking at making a move at his coaching position. Jerry Jones still non-committal about re-signing Mike McCarthy as the head coach for the Cowboys. Cowboys finished 7-10 on the year. Really, honestly, and truthfully, I don't think it's all Mike McCarthy's fault. I really don't. Dak Prescott out majority of the year with an injury. You have CeeDee Lamb just kind of trying to do the best he can. carrying that receiver room, running game non-existent, offensive line absolutely atrocious. It's one of the reasons why you didn't have Dak Prescott was because that offensive line was so terrible. He got hit so many times, eventually had an injury that cost him the entire season. I blame Jerry Jones, and this is, I'm going to sound like a broken record. If you listen to the Glass Half Full frequently, you've heard me talk about Jerry Jones. You know what I'm about to say. He is a terrible GM because he does not address the team needs. Again, a GM that does not address the team needs. That's their main job. You manage the team. If there is something that the team needs, it is your job to go and get it. If the head coach comes to you and says, hey, we're a little lacking in the secondary. We need to go get a couple of strong safeties to help us out. You go get the strong safeties. You don't go get linebackers. What is a linebacker going to do to help your secondary? Put him back in there, man coverage against a top receiver in the NFL. See how long he lasts doing that. It doesn't work. Jerry Jones, heading into this offseason, his team needed offensive line help. They needed other receivers to go with CeeDee Lamb. They needed some type of running back that was solid, because I'm going to tell you right now, Zeke Elliott, who was kind of fading out of the NFL, and Rico Dowdle, it's not a solid running game. And we saw it play out that way for the Cowboys this year. Jerry Jones knew all of this, but still didn't do anything. So I don't put this 7-10 season for the Cowboys on Mike McCarthy. I put it on Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones was too busy giving sound bites in a back and forth with CeeDee Lamb in the offseason over his extension to actually bother to take care of team needs. You're talking about Tyreek Hill being tired of playing with the Dolphins and wanting to be out of Miami. Dallas would be another good option. You'd have CeeDee Lamb and Tyreek Hill. That gives you two really good receivers for Dak Prescott to throw to next year. But it ain't happening. You want to know why I know it's not happening? Because Jerry Jones is still the GM for the Dallas Cowboys. That's why it's not happening. Until that changes, Cowboys are just going to stay the same. It doesn't matter who's in there as head coach. Jason Garrett ends up getting fired. Now Mike McCarthy probably going to end up getting fired. It's neither one of their faults. They have to coach the team that they're given to be fielded. And if the GM, whether it's Joe Schoen, whether it's Chris Greer, or whether it's Jerry Jones, isn't doing their job in filling the gaps that the team has, it doesn't matter who the head coach is. They're going to continue to be 500 or worse. Some teams that have announced they are firing their coach here real quick before we head to our next timeout. The Jacksonville Jaguars announced this morning that Doug Peterson out as head coach. Dougie Boy was 22-29 over three seasons with the Jags, including 4-13 this season. They did go 9-8 and make the postseason his first time there, but it was a quick out. They lost to the Chiefs in the divisional round, so they didn't stick around too long there in the postseason. Looks like some other coaches with the interim tags that will not be returning. Jeff Ulbrich with the Jets will not be returning as head coach. I don't think that's a surprise there. Same's the case for Thomas Brown with the Bears and Darren Rizzi with the Saints. Those interim coaches will not be retaining their head coaching title and having that interim tag removed. So looks like those three teams will join the ranks of the Jacksonville Jaguars, as well as the New England Patriots, who fired Gerard Mayo after just one season. And I saved this one for last because I'm going to go on a rant, because it is absolute BS that they fired Gerard Mayo after one season. This is a bad, bad look for Robert Kraft. You expect this man to take over? He took over a dumpster fire of a team. It's not like when Bill Belichick left, he took over a team that was doing a lot of good things. This was a team that needed a lot of TLC. And you fire him after one season? One season. That's all he gets. This boils down to one thing and one thing only. Robert Kraft originally regretted not hiring Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel's out there. Mike Vrabel is interested in the job. And now Robert Kraft sees that opportunity. Right? It's like when you start dating a girl and she started dating you because the guy she originally wanted wasn't available. Maybe he started dating somebody else and then all of a sudden he becomes single. She loses interest in you and goes and dates him. That's exactly what happened here with the with the New England Patriots. Robert Kraft originally wanted Mike Vrabel, ended up settling for Gerard Mayo. And now that Mike Vrabel's back on the scene and single, he's been hitting the gym, he got a little tan. Robert Kraft's going, ooh la la. And he's going to run over there and just ditch Gerard Mayo. It's ridiculous, is what it is. One season. What do you expect him to do in one season? Robert Kraft is just, he's quickly getting up there to the ranks of Jerry Jones in my book, if we're being honest. We'll take our next timeout. Not our final timeout. It's our next timeout. We'll be right back with more Glass Half Full right after this.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Here on this Monday morning. Welcome in to the Glass Half Full, or should I say welcome back in to the Glass Half Full. I am Jordan Glass. Thank you so much for tuning in. You want to be a part of today's show? Hey, you can do that, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Sticking with the NFL now, very NFL-heavy show for you today, but obviously it's Pink Slip Monday, and we got the playoffs coming up. Lots to talk about with the NFL, and the playoffs are actually where we're going to be going with this conversation now, as we now have the bracket set up and ready to go. Our wild card matchups for the opening weekend of the NFL playoffs. On the AFC side, we'll have the Chargers taking on the Texans. That game will be in Houston. We'll have the Steelers on the road in Baltimore. The Steelers actually beat Baltimore in Baltimore, I believe, earlier this season. And then Baltimore returned. I might have that flipped. Either way, Steelers are playing the Ravens this weekend. And we'll also have the Broncos taking on the 2-seed Buffalo Bills. That should be an interesting matchup. Bo Nix has had a great season. Just not quite sure the Denver Broncos have enough weapons to head into Buffalo and come out with a win. So that'll be the AFC side of things. On the NFC side of things, we have the Vikings taking on the Rams, the Commanders taking on the Buccaneers, who won the NFC South yesterday with their win over the Saints. Mike Evans having 1,000 receiving yards for 11 straight seasons, right there with Jerry Rice on that record in the NFL. And the Packers will take on the Eagles in another 7-2 seed matchup. And, of course, Kansas City will wait for the winner of the Chargers and the Texans. And the Lions will wait as the number one seed for the winner of the Rams and the Vikings. Figured after kind of running through here, what are the games that are really going to be, like, if you've only got a time to pick out, like, one or two, maybe three games to sit down and watch from this week's postseason play coming up, what are those games going to be? I think obviously first and foremost on the AFC side of thing, really there's only one that stand out to me. I think when you look at the game between the Broncos and the Bills, like I said, the Broncos and the Bills, I just don't know if the Broncos have enough to go into Buffalo and come out with a win. Buffalo playing really good football. I know Josh Allen's going to be rested and ready. So I don't know if the Broncos have enough to come away with that game. Same is the case for the Texans. I honestly think the defense for the Chargers is going to rise up and create an opportunity for them to be able to win this game and advance on to take on their AFC West rival in the next round in the divisional playoffs, or the divisional side of the playoffs. So I actually do think the Chargers beat the Texans because of their defense. I think Buffalo's just too good of a football team. And then for me, on the AFC side, really the only matchup that if you're going to tune into just one game on that side of those three games, it's got to be Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I mean, both of these games have been classics so far this year between these two teams. And I know when you look at this last meeting just a few weeks ago, the score is lopsided. But, you know, some second half turnovers, a pick six, things like that is what led to that score being the way it was. This was a close back and forth game through majority of the entire time it was being played. And then in the second half, turnovers, like I said, just lead and create opportunities to Baltimore to score points. And they took advantage of it, and they were able to pull away and win that game. I expect another great, hard-hitting, physical, just hate-filled classic between these two teams that do not like each other. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, just they're playing really good football right now at the right time, right? They kind of went through, we talked about that at the top of the show, they went through that plateau, if you will, where they were playing really good to start off the season, right? And then they just kind of bottomed out and tanked out, and then they got things back going towards the end of the year. They're playing really good football right now. They won the division in the AFC North with that win that they had over Pittsburgh a few weeks ago and then winning out through the rest of the season. So I really do think that Baltimore's got the upper hand in this one. But still, again, I expect a really, really good competitive game. On the NFC side of the playoffs, I actually see two games that I am very interested in. I think, honestly and truthfully, I think the NFC side of the playoffs looks a lot more fun than the AFC side does, because I think whoever wins that Texans-Chargers game is just going to get blown out by the Chiefs. I think the Broncos take care of business against the Bills take care of business against the Broncos, excuse me. And then I think that the Bills just go on and beat whoever comes out of Pittsburgh and Baltimore, whether it's Pitt or Baltimore, whoever comes out. And then, of course, you're going to have Buffalo and Kansas City playing for the AFC Championship game. I think the AFC side is pretty cut and dry clear as far as who you could potentially have in the AFC Championship game. On the NFC side, you look at the three wild card games, they're all toss-ups, right? The Rams can beat the Vikings can beat the Rams. The Bucks can beat the Commanders can beat the Bucks. The Eagles can beat the Packers, and the Packers can beat the Eagles. Really, it's a toss-up. You're not quite sure which team could actually come away with this. But looking at this, if the two games that I'm going to key in here on the NFC side, obviously I'm going to start with the Packers and the Eagles. Can the Packers defense, can that rushing defense for the Packers slow down Saquon Barkley in this game? Because I think that's going to be Philly's game plan in the postseason. Lean on Saquon Barkley, right? Let that big physical offensive line of theirs push and pull guys around up front and just let Saquon Barkley do what Saquon Barkley does best, and that's run the rock. Jordan Love's production also going to be huge for the Packers in that game. And how healthy are the Eagles? That's going to be another question mark heading into this matchup. You know, Jalen Hurts, a little banged up, right? Devontae Smith, a little banged up, right? That's why I think that they are going to go after a little bit more heavy production from a guy like Saquon Barkley. So I really do think that Saquon has got to be the guy up against this Packers rush defense. If he can have success there, then I think the Eagles are going to have a great opportunity at winning this game and advancing on. It's the glass half full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. And, of course, the final wild card game that I've got circled to keep an eye on, Minnesota and L.A., the Vikings and the Rams. A win for the Vikings will create that third matchup with the Lions. And then, of course, the passing game matchup here. Matthew Stafford versus Sam Darnold, right? Justin Jefferson versus Puka Nacua. It's going to be a lot of fun. Should be a lot of passing yards. Should be a lot of points in this game, honestly. And like I said, the winner will advance on to head to Detroit to take on the Detroit Lions. You know, last time the Rams and the Lions played, it was a good game. Last time the Vikings and the Lions played, as we saw last night, final score, a little bit more of a blowout than what the actual game was. Because, again, wasn't for the big night by Jahmyr Gibbs last night, you're looking at a 9-3 Vikings win. I'm just saying, I think this game right here whoever wins this game heads into Detroit. It's not going to be ideal to go play in Detroit in the postseason, especially with Detroit playing the way that they're playing, coming off a bye week, so you know everybody's going to be rested and ready to go. But it definitely should at least produce a good game. Even if either one of these teams doesn't beat Detroit in the second round, it'll at least be a good matchup, that is for sure. We'll take our final timeout of the show. When we come back, we'll wrap things up with your headline roundup. That is coming up next, right after this, on the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Calling all sports fanatics in Pensacola. Brace yourselves for the ultimate sports talk experience. Tune in to Greeny with Mike Greenberg, exclusively on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Weekdays from 9 to 11, Greeny brings you the most insightful analysis from the NFL to the NBA, Major League Baseball to college sports. Greeny dives deep into the stories that matter most with his unique perspective and unparalleled passion. He keeps you hooked from start to finish. Tune in to Greeny on ESPN Pensacola and fuel your sports obsession. It's a home run of a show.
Greeny, weekdays at 10, right after The Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's The Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
9:55 here, about 5 minutes remaining in today's show. If you want to be a part of it, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Coming back here, just some breaking news from the NFL. Tom Pelissero posting this on X just a little bit ago. The Chicago Bears have requested interviews with Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson and defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn. And it also looks like the Patriots have also requested an interview with Ben Johnson as well. So, yeah, just as I expected, Ben Johnson going to get a lot of looks from NFL teams. Definitely rightfully so with the way that this Lions offense has played throughout the season and really the last couple of seasons. He's really kind of going to have his pick of any job in the NFL. I think the Jags will probably follow suit as well. Any team that will be looking for a head coach, Ben Johnson will definitely be on their short list for sure. Let's head to your headline roundup now here on the Glass Half Full. We like to close out every show by looking at the top headlines in the world of sports. Jacksonville, as I mentioned a moment ago, Jacksonville fires Doug Peterson as their head coach. They are going to be looking for that new man that can lead the Jags. Urban Meyer didn't work. Doug Peterson didn't work. Who's it going to be next? Like I said, Ben Johnson probably going to be part of that list of people that get interviewed for that job. Patriots fire Gerard Mayo after one season. Definitely expect Mike Vrabel to be in the mix for this New England Patriots job as well. I'm very surprised and honestly a little flabbergasted that they let Gerard Mayo go after one season. Don't think they gave him enough time there in New England, but, you know, hey, I'm not Robert Kraft, so I'm not making those final decisions. Jerry Jones, non-committal on whether he will continue to look into re-signing Mike McCarthy and let him be the future head coach for the Dallas Cowboys. So Mike McCarthy's future kind of up to Jerry Jones. He complimented him, but then he wouldn't actually say that he was willing to keep him, right? So that was kind of the Jerry Jones way of, you know, well, you know, he's a real good coach, but, you know, we'll have to look into everything. I haven't quite made up my mind. I still got some thinking to do, you know, that type of stuff. That's what you get from Jerry Jones. He's going to pay you a compliment, and then he's not actually going to commit to actually saying anything. So it's still up in the air. We don't really know what's going to happen with Mike McCarthy there in Dallas. Giants and Dolphins both deciding to keep not only their general managers, but their head coaches. For Miami, the head coach, I would have gotten rid of Mike McDaniel anyways. It's his third season. His first 2 years there, they went to the postseason. Really, their biggest issue is if Tua can stay healthy. If they can find a way to keep him healthy, the Miami Dolphins will be fine. The GM position, however, it's time for Chris Greer to go. He does not do a good job as far as bringing in new talent or replacing the talent that leaves, right? So he needs to definitely find an alternate position there with another team or with another company or organization or whatever, because I think his time as GM of the Miami Dolphins needs to be over, but it doesn't look like it is. He's going to stick around at least through 2025 season. Same is the case for the Giants. Joe Schoen and Brian Daboll going to be sticking around. Again, can't fault Brian Daboll. He's got to coach with the team he's given to field. And when your GM just lets guys like McKinley and Saquon Barkley walk and go to other teams inside the NFL where they produce and actually are a big key part of that team's success this season and why both of their teams are in the playoffs, I mean, it comes down to right there, the GM letting those guys go. But the Giants are going to stick with Joe Schoen. I think it's a mistake for both the Giants and the Dolphins. But again, I'm not the owner of the team, so what does that matter? Tyreek Hill, he sits the fourth quarter and then says he's out with the Miami Dolphins. We'll have to see if he's actually truly out or if this was just frustration in the moment. Obviously, as the next few days go by, that will be very telling on what happens there with the Miami Dolphins. I suspect it to be just frustration there in that situation. Jahmyr Gibbs, 4 touchdowns last night as the Lions beat the Vikings to secure the NFC North title and the number one overall seed in the NFC playoff race. That is going to do it for today's show. We will be back with more of the Glass Half Full coming up tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. Until then, have a great Monday. I'm Jordan Glass. Stay tuned. Greeny coming up next.